The following program is presented by Hanson McLean.
It's time for Hanson McLean Advisors Money Matters, hosted by Scott Hanson and Pat McLean, credentialed financial advisors serving you since 1993.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us this weekend.
Glad you are here with us. At least we think you're here. Some of you are here. And myself and my co-host, we are both financial advisors. We spend our weekdays meeting with people like yourself. Come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air. And our objective is to provide good information that people can use in their daily lives, make wise choices with their finances, maybe sometimes just give a good second opinion or validate something they're currently doing.
Or stop someone from doing something that is terribly dangerous and doesn't appear to be that way.
All that good stuff.
Yes.
And someone asked me, it's interesting, someone asked me this week if I don't want to out the guy. So it was essentially if I considered about offering some free services to a certain group of people in the area of financial planning. And he said, well, yeah, we don't always do a good job plan. And I said, well, I do come here. For 19 years, I've come with the weekends every Saturday. And the nice thing, that the thing that we appreciate about being here is whether you've got somebody who has millions of dollars and doing some planning, or somebody who's just made a financial wreck of your lives, would love to help you.
Yeah.
And everywhere in between. So that's one of the part of the reasons we enjoy coming here on the weekends. It's
there are so many financial self-help systems available either online or the library, or
it's usually not a lack of information, is it?
That is not. Normally what people are looking for is someone to actually guide them step by step and tell them exactly what they need to do. Much like me going to the gym, which is...
you look at the amount of personal trainers there are these days, or classes.
Or gyms. There's one on every corner.
Or weight loss, all the weight loss programs there are out there.
Yes.
Anyway.
That's the point.
If you
and I'm still not very good at going to the gym.
You're not?
I go a couple, 3 days a week, but I do not really enjoy it. I got to tell you, I'm not a huge gym rat. I don't, unlike yourself, actually, this is a nice segue. I wasn't even planning on it. Mr. Scott Hanson.
Nice segue. You did not follow in the outline of the show? Okay, we'll talk about my lack of going to the gym, and then we'll segue.
Segue to Scott Hanson, who is running the California International Marathon here in Sacramento.
I am.
How many marathons have you run? Do you know?
I don't know, but Maura, who's our
what do we call her, producer?
Yes, we'll call her the executive producer.
The executive. Well, that executive producer means she's got money into the show.
Oh, then she's the producer. And where was I going with that? Oh, she said she saw online that it was my 10th year doing the Run CIM.
Is that right?
Yeah, and I went and validated that. And I don't know if it said nine. I don't know if this would be my 9th or the 10th or something.
You've run it that many years in a row?
Apparently, well, not in a row. The first time I ran it, it was 20 years ago, and I said I'd never do it. Actually, it was 20 years ago. I ran it 20 years ago,
and I said
I'll never do this again.
There's lots of things in my life I say I'll never do again.
Usually those are things that are bad for you. Of course, maybe marathons aren't that good for you.
So,
never again.
Never again.
I'm not going to speak that way to my wife again. Don't say those words.
Never again. So you've probably done 20, 25 marathons in your lifetime?
No, I haven't done that many. I don't like travel to go.
I thought you did like the New York Marathon or the Boston Marathon.
Yeah, I did that. Okay.
The San Diego Rock and Roll Marathon.
That. Okay, so you've named them.
Okay. So we used to do this.
Although my wife and I went to Venice for our 20th anniversary a few years ago.
Very nice.
Venice. It was nice.
You ran a marathon there?
I enjoyed the first day. The second day, I was losing my mind. I felt very claustrophobic.
In
if you
Venice?
Go to Venice, stay, my opinion, for me, I could not stay on that little island again.
It drove me crazy.
Me too.
Because and the thing that bothered me most about Venice is everything seems so inefficient. You're like...
of course it is.
You know, there's a huge body of land right behind you that isn't surrounded.
You know you're sinking here, just to let you know.
Anyway,
my point is, I get there, there's a marathon the next day, the Venice Marathon, where they actually build this temporary bridge so you can run and finish right in the main center or whatever they call
it. Did you do it?
No, because I wanted to, but we're there for our 20th anniversary.
Oh, yeah, that wouldn't have been good.
no, it kind of like, I could have done it, but it might have cost
me. Yeah, that was not.
So, anyway.
But,
enough of
so
this.
So we used to do the radio show on, was it Sunday
for
afternoons?
For years we did Sundays.
At 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
And so one day, you come in and you're just not really looking that good. And I said, are you feeling okay? You don't look that good. And he said, no, I'm kind of tired. And I'm like, why are you so tired? He's like, well, I just ran the marathon, and then I had to come and do the show.
I think
show.
That was the day I ran the cool 50K. And
oh,
I was
that's
all
like
muddy
33
too.
Miles or some incredible.
Yeah, I don't know. My body's starting to fall apart a bit, though, so we'll see how
well,
I do tomorrow.
I can probably say I've never run a marathon.
What I can say, I'm running tomorrow with my buddy Dan, who's shooting to qualify for Boston.
Dan, the Army Ranger?
Yes, sir. He sends me a text of his broken toe. He broke his big toe this week playing soccer. He's 47 or 8 and he's about playing soccer. And he's still planning on running the thing. It's all big, swollen. It was kind of disgusting looking. I'm like, I don't really need to shoot.
Because he's an ex-Army Ranger. I know the guy. He's crazy.
I remember one time biking with him, and he crashed, and I'm like waiting for him, and I see him moving his hands, and he catches up to me and says, sorry, my finger dislocated. I had to push it back in. I said, well, are you okay? I mean, should we go to the, oh, no, it's fine. Let's go finish the ride.
Yeah.
And I mean, if it was me, I'd be crying. I'd be probably my wife. Honey, I need to. You
and actually, just
me.
For fun, he's probably going to line people up along the route and have them throw rocks at him.
Dan running down.
He's actually got a little more excitement.
It's not hard enough for running a marathon.
He was deployed into Iraq a few years back, and he created the first Baghdad Marathon.
Did he really?
And the Baghdad Century Bike Ride.
What would you ride a bike for 100 miles?
It's in there. There's a big... We took over Saddam's palace
zone.
And whatever. Yeah, it was within there.
We did like 90 loops to do.
He
them.
Got someone to some organization to ship over all these bikes for the servicemen there, and he organized this huge thing. And in his spare time, anyway, we're way off topic.
But we're talking about Dan. I hope Dan listens to the show.
Dan is not a fan of the show. He will never listen to the show.
No, he does listen every once in a while because he'll send me a text or something, or he'll remind me about something we talked about or something.
I do like Dan. He's a nice little man.
What does nice little man mean? He's about my height. What does that mean?
I didn't. That was a slip of the tongue. I mean, Dan could beat me up by just looking at me.
I know.
If he stared at me long enough, I'd start crying.
He said that when he was in West Point, or it was a ranger school or something, they had some pit. They used to put two guys in a pit, and one has to see who the survivor is. They throw the other guy out. And he was like he would win the thing all the time. And he's, what, 5'6", 5'5", little guy.
Wow. But he's big. I mean, anyway, enough of talking
and he's
about
got a
Dan.
Big, and he's got a big heart.
Okay. And a fantastic family.
There he goes. As I finish insulting.
And he's brilliant when it comes to his financial planning.
You can insult as much as you want, as long as you finish on a compliment.
He's got a big heart. Or not. Anyway. we got a great program talking about, if we get to the stuff, talking about some financial things in the news. And, of course, take your calls, answer your questions regarding financial matters. And to join us, to call into the program and be on the air, 921-1530 is the number to reach us here.
And that's with financial questions.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about the stuff we were talking about. Mm-hmm. Only we can choose those topics. But really, anything that has to do with an investment portfolio or retirement planning or college savings or... estate planning, wills and trusts, and taxes, whatever the case may be. 921-1530. That's the 916 area code, 921-1530. And you can send us an email at questions@moneymatters.com. Again, questions@moneymatters.com. And why don't we take a call? And
you want to do that?
And then we'll talk about some more matters. Just
and if you
want to
call, 921-1530.
I just gave the number three times.
I wasn't listening.
Obviously. That's what happens half the time. We're in the middle of the program, and I look at Pat, and he's like staring off into left field, like his eyes glossed over, thinking about something. Obviously, not the program.
I'm thinking about ice cream right now.
Oh, come on.
Ice cream.
Ray, you're with Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
I had a question. I'm 48. I just had a 1-year-old son.
Hey, congrats.
Thanks. I've heard you talk.
You're 48 and you just had a kid?
Yeah, I've heard you in the past going, why would you do that?
That's all right.
I did it.
You got. Well, is this your first child?
It is.
Well, congrats.
Congratulations.
Yeah, kids certainly make life rich.
Yes, it is, actually.
Financially broke, but overall, the rest of life, rich.
Yeah, well, I hope not too broke. Question regarding future for college savings. Is it, I got a 401k. It's doing pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time he hits college, I'll be about the time to pull the plug on the work.
Uh-huh.
So would it be wise just to leave it in the 401k or just reduce the 401k a little bit and start putting into the college fund?
Like a 529 plan. You know, it's an interesting situation because before you finished the question, I was thinking, you might want to use this 401k and Roth IRA in order to fund.
That's exactly what I was thinking. The Roth option.
Is the Roth, right? Because the Roth does exactly the same thing as the 529 plan does.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to take it out and use it for education.
Yes.
Yeah, are you I'm worried about whether he actually goes to school or
it makes no difference.
Okay.
It's your money. Because you're in the unique situation. You're going to be well beyond age 59 and a half at that time. So are you maximizing your 401k now?
I'm about 16%.
Yeah, pretty close to them. Well, the max is
what, $17,000 a year, whatever the number somewhere.
Oh, right? No,
okay,
I'm probably about five under that.
Okay, so I would. And do you have a Roth 401k option through your employer?
I believe so. I've never looked at it.
If I were in your situation, this is what I would do. I would allocate some portion of what your contributions are now, or if you can increase a little bit, and have it allocated towards the Roth, and I'd view those dollars as money that could be used for my son's college education or could be used for my retirement or anything else for that matter.
Yes.
Tax-free.
And the reason it works for you is because of your age, and the Roth and the 529, they're almost identical in terms of you put money in, you do not get a tax deduction, it grows tax-deferred, and it comes out tax-free. The 529 only comes out tax-free if you use it for secondary education, but the Roth 401k, Roth IRA comes out tax-free regardless of how you use the money. That's why you would use that prior to the more heavily than the 529 plan. And that's a great question. It's it means that you've got a pretty good understanding of at least the concepts of these retirement plans and how they work.
Yeah, I was worried about the 529 because it was locked into education.
Yeah, that is correct. And you've got tax advantage plans available to you without having to do that.
Yep, perfect.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right. Congratulations
and you know what?
Again.
That is, not to be bragging about ourselves, that is not the kind of answer you would get from any sort of financial journalist.
It sounds like you're bragging about yourself.
No, I'm just saying. It's not your typical answer you would.
That is correct.
I mean, obviously, we read all the periodicals all the time. And
when would that question come up?
What's that?
You wouldn't see that question.
No, but someone would say, use the 529 plan, and here's the benefits of the 529. Here's how the 529 works.
Actually,
the Roth 401k can work for people in any age. The challenge is
the liquidity. And
yes, liquidity. If your employer allows for in-service withdrawals, which a lot do not, you can get stuck and you'd have to switch employers or that sort of thing.
That's a weird thing about 401ks is that I have clients who will come in and say, well, my friend did this. And I'll say, well, I know your friend did, and your friend was allowed to, but you're not.
Yeah, because the 401ks, every company has different rules. There's some overarching tax rules, but then, anyway. We've got to take a quick break. 921-1530 to be part of the program. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. 20 minutes after the hour, Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
Glad you are. Why did I just say the time?
I know. I was wondering the same thing.
It is weekend.
It might not be 20 minutes after the hour wherever these people are.
I think it used to be like the Arbitron days or something. They still. Years ago, we were taught to.
Yes, to the call signals. And
was it ever 10? Was it ever 10? Anyway, that's kind of boring. So, hey,
they have people meters now. It's a completely different way of measuring. I don't even know if we're allowed to talk about this.
You're going to get another nasty memo from management.
Mm-hmm. I'll put it with the rest.
So, stock market, again, marches to new highs.
Wow.
It's the most bizarre. This is a strange year, okay? Because we've seen one, it's mainly large company U.S. stocks.
It's about the only asset class moving.
And the interesting thing is, if you look at the S&P 500, the 500 largest companies in the United States, almost half their revenues come from outside the United States. Okay? So there's some, most of those companies are multinational companies. They rely upon the global economy for their growth.
You have global exposure, correct.
But then you look at, there's some great companies that are domiciled outside the United States, and those stock markets have not done much at all this year.
And half of their income
comes from the U.S. So there's this, you look at the two, and it doesn't really make any sense from an economic standpoint. Clearly doesn't make any sense. And then the last number of weeks, 5 or 6 weeks, we've seen a typically the high-yield bond market will react very closely to the stock market as far as a spread between junk bonds and investment-grade bonds. Put it this way. How much more someone demands from a company that has not got the best credit rating compared to what someone demands from the U.S. government? Right? That spread the last 5 or 6 weeks has widened dramatically, which
means that there's more.
Well, typically, we'll see that at the same time the stock market's falling. People are saying, whoa, I don't know if I like the risk of this. I don't know if I trust these companies. I'm getting out, right? So that's what we've seen happen. That's when stock prices fall. We'll see, whoa, I've got to get out of here. Prices fall. You see the same sort of thing happening in these bonds lent to these smaller companies or these non-creditworthy companies. You'll see people say, whoa, I need a higher interest rate. I need a higher interest rate.
I need to be compensated higher for the risk I'm taking.
And if you look at the last 10 times we've seen this divergence like that, you've seen the stock market and the spread react together, except right now.
And it hasn't.
It's really kind of a bizarre time. So some people are saying, is this some sort of a prediction of what the stock market's going to do next?
I don't know. I tell you, though, it is.
If you look at things like the value of the S&P 500, all those companies put together as a measure of our gross domestic product, pretty good way to measure it, we're at, I think, just about an all-time high. It's if you chart it out, wow.
So you look around you look around the world, and these economies are struggling. I mean, China.
They got some issues.
And that's only what you can see. You might not believe this, but China's not that visible. They are not, they do not share everything that's going on. And what we can see is scary. I can't even imagine how deep this iceberg goes. Right? And then you look at parts of Europe where the recovery is just not happening. In Japan.
Do you realize that in interest rates on Spanish and Portugal bonds are lower than our U.S. bonds today?
I didn't know that.
Isn't that the most bizarre thing? It's a strange time right now.
That's just because the monetary policy.
Here's the thing. We cannot predict when the markets are going to go through their cycles. We don't believe anybody can predict. Our concern right now is that people forget why they have diversification. They say, look how well the stock, and this is the conversation I've had with people, look how well the stock market's been doing. Why aren't we all just in U.S. stocks?
But Scott, we say we can't predict, but there are times in every asset class where there appears to be more risk than at other times.
That is correct.
Right. So you can't the problem is you can't predict when it's going to turn.
You have no idea.
But you can.
Any of the markets.
But you can say, historically, when this asset class looked like this, the probability
And we're seeing some of that today.
Yes.
But what our concern is, if you see mutual fund flows, you see people now giving up on their diversification and increasing their stock exposure at precisely the wrong time.
It's scary.
We got to remember, if the markets fell over 50% back in 2008 and 9, they fell 45%. In between 2000 and 2002. Odds are we're going to have another time like that sometime in the future. We don't know when, but most people should be prepared for those sort of times.
Or at least a good 10 to 20% pullback.
We haven't even
How long has it been?
We haven't had a 20% pullback since 2008. Since the Great Recession. We have not had a...
And it has been a tremendous bull market.
Unbelievable.
Across almost every asset class.
Well, up until recently. I mean, you look at small cap stocks, they have not. You look at gold and oil.
Yeah.
You realize oil is selling for $65 a barrel at the end of Friday.
Yeah.
It was 110, 120 back in June, but July, in the summer.
It's good for the U.S. economy.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be bad. We'll see how Texas is going to weather through
yeah.
this. You know, Texas tries to talk about their economy is booming because of the conservative policies. I think a lot of it has to do with the
oil
business. But
the conservative policies don't hurt.
I read something this morning where they were giving this job. They had a good jobs report on Friday, and it was because of the election. I read
what
somewhere.
Election?
The one that happened a few weeks ago with the Republicans taking over the Senate.
And that was and it helped.
They're not even in. They're not even. It hasn't even. Yeah, that's what this. I thought I gave it. I chuckled.
That's what the business owner goes. Hey, look who's elected. Let's hire someone.
I chuckled. That's what the article said.
That's what we do at Hanson McClain. Yeah. We look
oh.
to the elections, and whoever wins depends on whether we
are
keep
we
people.
Hire or fire?
Oh. How's it go?
That guy who was elected, time, you're going to have to lose some jobs. That was the point.
Let's take some calls.
All right. We're going to talk to Scott. Scott, you're with Hanson McClain's Money Matters.
Hey, good morning, guys. First, I just want to say thanks. You guys helped me get into a great house and kind of help out my financial situation. I've been listening for a little bit, so I'll be spending this Christmas with my ma in Sacramento, which I do thank you guys for helping me make a good choice.
Oh, well, thank you. That makes me feel good.
Would you call some other time or what?
I called a while back ago when I was debating on whether it was a good time to buy, if I was financially able to afford it and all that kind of stuff.
Oh,
and
good.
You guys spent a little bit of time with me and it helped me make a great choice and I'm doing really well. But now I'm kind of at the next step where I'm kind of thinking, okay, well, now that I got the house and financials kind of fixed, what do I do next as far as retirement and savings? I got a friend that has a couple $1,000 already in his savings stuff uh-huh. that he tells me and I'm at zero. So
how old
I'm
are you, Scott?
I'm a new guy.
How old are you?
30.
Okay.
And I have, go ahead.
So you recently bought a house. I take it you're employed?
Yes.
Does your employer offer a 401k?
No.
They don't? Is it a small employer?
Yeah. There's only like 3 people working at this
okay.
business.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Do you have any money set aside in case you lose a job to make the mortgage payments for a few months?
For a few months, yeah. I don't have too much saved. It costs a little bit more than I anticipated with the move and the house and all that. But I got about 10 or 15 or so to the side.
Oh, good for you.
10 or 15,000 or 10 or 1,500?
Oh, 1,000.
Okay. Oh, good for you.
Oh, good for you.
You're doing great. You're doing great.
Here's what so you're 30 years old. What do you want to invest for? Long-term retirement or?
That's what I'm thinking. I there's this Knights of Columbus whole life insurance.
Oh.
And they're telling me about
no.
like, kind of like
no.
a retirement.
No.
Thing.
Have
no.
you bought that?
Nope. 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 Scott, we're not going to talk about it.
Have
we're
you bought it already?
No.
Yeah.
Do you have kids?
No.
Yeah. But he is Catholic.
Yeah.
So that means what? He will have kids?
No,
a lot of them.
It's at the Knights of Columbus. They sell it to Catholic fraternal organization.
I know. There's some, but that doesn't mean that they have good products.
No, I didn't say that.
I don't know what the Catholic has to do with it.
I'm thinking.
No, it's a fine company. Here,
it's a fraternal organization. It's not a company. But here's what you want to do. Do you have children? Are you married?
No.
Don't forget about the life insurance.
Why do you need life insurance?
He doesn't
Your mom will
need
be
life
sad
insurance.
If you're done, who else would? I mean, come on.
He doesn't need life insurance. Do not discuss life insurance, whole life, universal life, with anyone.
I would either do that or I would take your money in dollar bills and put them in a big pile and light them on fire.
Well, that's harsh.
And watch them burn
Scott,
that way.
That's harsh. Here's what I
that
want you
That might
to,
be more exciting
Scott,
than owning a whole life insurance
here's what we
as
want
a 30-year-old
do.
Single man.
You
want
to buy a Roth IRA
yes.
is the investment,
yes.
and you want to buy the total market
That's
inside of that.
If
right?
I were 30 years old, a Roth IRA, matter of fact, if you do it before the end of this year, you can do it next year, up until April 15th, You can put $5,500 in for 2014, and if you wanted to, you can put $5,500 in for 2015.
But here's how you want to do it, Scott. You want to open a Roth IRA. If you type in Roth IRA low cost total market, it will give you two or three companies to sell it. You want to set it up so it goes in monthly out of your checking account. So set it up at $200 a month to start, move it to $300 as soon as you can, and keep that number until you're the maximum of $5,500.
Most of them are going to require a couple $1,000s minimum to open them up.
Yeah,
but once you get that, I'd take the couple grand, open it up, and I'd do it on a monthly thing, Scott.
Well, appreciate the
Roth IRA, total market, I think. Long-term, short-term, who knows? Long-term, we're talking 30 years before you're going to need these dollars. I think this is a good place to be. We got to take a quick break. If you want to be on the program like Scott, we got a couple lines open. 921-1530 is the number. Again, 921-1530. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
Rainy weekend.
Yes.
I like it. Lots of rain.
Yeah,
I like it.
Good luck on the International Marathon tomorrow.
We already talked about that in the previous segment.
I never said good luck. We just talked about it. I wish you well.
It's not raining tomorrow there. That's going to be kind of nice.
Yeah. I remember one year. Oh, it was so stormy. I felt bad for everyone running it.
You did?
Yeah. It was one year. It was just storm and rain. And
you felt bad for everybody.
I'm glad I'm not there.
All right. Actually, I remember it was a couple years ago. It was raining so hard. And there's relay runners, too, that so people can run this at a relay with four different legs. And so they have to be there waiting. I remember once you start running, your body temperature gets up and you're not cold anymore. But if you're waiting an hour for your runner to come in miserable weather, or you're working the aid station, that's why I never volunteer for races. I'm kidding. I'm joking. I very much appreciate those volunteers. Hey, before we go back to calls, Uber, which is, of course, is the kind of the online hookup a driver, car, taxi kind of company.
They don't call themselves a taxi company. They're a technology company that helps in the facilitation and transport of individuals.
What, are you reading their website or something?
They do not call themselves a taxi company.
Okay. But
that is their argument.
They announced this last week that they received some additional financing, which valued... So right now, it's not a public company, right? It's a company that was financed by venture capitalists, private equity, not public, people putting large sums in, making a bet on the company. The valuation that was put on this week is for Uber, $41 billion.
That's a lot of money. That is a tremendous amount of money.
For a company that essentially has really no assets, valued at more than Hertz rental car, as an example.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Probably Hertz and Alamo combined.
I mean, there's $41 billion is a very large company, $41 billion.
And I use Uber. I like Uber. Let me tell you, they have got some regulatory issues that will not be easy to get over. They're not allowed to operate in Nevada. Nevada just said, you can't operate here without a license. You're going to transport people, you need license. And they said, well, we don't transport people, we just facilitate the transport of people.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought there was... And I've... Uber, if you're in a big city like San Francisco or New York, there's cabs everywhere, it doesn't really matter. But I haven't used it in Sacramento. I've used it in other cities where I need to get somewhere. And it's really great because you can see where the car is and how long it's going to take. I mean, I certainly like it, but it wouldn't seem to me that it would be that hard to have a competitor.
Oh, they do. Lyft is a competitor. There's three or four that have actually come into the marketplace in the last 6 months. Lyft being one of them. And I don't remember. Joey, do you remember what
but
the other one is?
There might be somebody that'll go screen all of those and find where the closest car is for you and the best price.
And
they're not bidding yet against.
That's a good point. Or you could have one driver that for four.
How about a technology where you say, I'm here and I need to go here. Start bidding, please. And you get the guy showing up on the moped, the lowest price.
It's just right there.
Right there. Anyway, $41 billion. And the stories you don't hear about are all the other companies that where lots of money was invested and they went bust.
Yeah.
So you talk to venture capitalists, they say out of 10 different companies they fund, 7 or 8 might go bankrupt entirely. One or two will do okay, and one will be a home run. If they have the home run,
hope.
That's their hope. If they get the home run on the one, it'll pay for the other nine that don't yield much. But anyway, let's take some calls. 921-1530 is the number. We're talking to Dale. Dale, you're with Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Yes. I'm retired. I've been retired 6 years. I have three retirement incomes from the military, the state, and Social Security.
Okay.
And my annual is around $100,000.
Okay.
I have about $130,000 in a deferred comp through the state,
mm-hmm.
and about $30,000 in a 401. My question is, should I just, of course, the state one is not doing very well. It's almost flat. And I've been taking a little bit out. In a few years, I'm going to have to be taking money out anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So should I start taking some out now? I don't know my taxes.
Dale, you're probably better off deferring taking the money out until your required minimum distribution at age 70.
How old are you today, Dale?
66.
And do you plan on staying in California indefinitely?
I'd like to move, but too many grandkids.
All righty.
So you can't get them all to move with you?
So
yeah, really.
Here's the you made a statement that was Scott and I just kind of looked at each other when you said your deferred compensation isn't doing very well. You have, and it's at the state of California, you have complete discretion as to how those dollars are invested. You have 100% discretion. They give you a big menu to choose from that you can invest in. And in addition to that, you can move it into what's called a self-directed brokerage account. In addition to that, you can move it over into an IRA because you've separated from service and you're older than age whatever, right? It
right,
doesn't even
right.
matter. So don't compare the returns to the vehicle, which is the tax vehicle, the 457. What I think you should do is
is all your pension income, is it taxable, or is there any portion of disability where it's tax free or anything like that?
It's almost all taxable.
Okay.
So what I think you should do is roll the 457 and 401k together into an individual IRA.
Yeah, I would agree.
And hire an advisor that you trust to make sure it's the appropriate allocation. My guess is that you're really never going to want to take, you probably won't need any income off of this because you haven't so far.
Right. And I once in a while pull a few thousand out here and there, but
So I think you should find the problem in our industry is it's hard to find an advisor to trust.
You think? But here's the
I've been listening to you guys for a long time and I have a level of trust.
The challenge you're at now, if your income was less, I'd say take a distribution, but don't just take a distribution. Do a Roth conversion on it, because if you don't need the money, you're going to accomplish the same sort of thing, reducing the amount that's going to be required when you're 70 and a half. But you're at a point now with the income you're at, even when you take your personal exemptions and itemized deduction or standard deduction, you're still in a 25% federal bracket. You're probably at about an 8 or 9% in the state. So
yeah. It's
kind of hard to justify taking the money. I mean, there's a chance that 5 or 8 years down the road, income taxes are less. There's that chance. Yeah, it's looking at me like I'm crazy.
Where do you live?
I'm just saying.
No, what you need to do is just, you look at these dollars and you look, I'm probably not going to spend the bulk of them. I don't need them to live off of. I assume that you have no debt.
Almost nothing.
Okay, then you just make sure it's appropriately invested for the long term and do the required minimum distributions at age 70 and a half. And the required minimum distributions at age 70 and a half is a little less than 4%.
Yeah, so. About 3.5%.
So that's what I'd do.
It's about 3.5%
It gets a little more. Each year gets a little bit more. But
it's not a lot to start with. So, when people talk about this required minimum distribution, I think there's an idea that there's a lot of money that has to come out.
Well, if he had $1 million or something in there, that would be a different story.
Yeah, I wish.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
You wish, yeah.
You have problems. So that's what I would do. I'd roll them both together and do an IRA, and I'd get a good fee-based financial advisor to manage the portfolio appropriately for your risk tolerance.
Yeah, if you stick with someone who's got a kind of a fiduciary model, someone on your side there, I think that, because there are a lot of options you can do there. So, hey, appreciate the call, Dale.
You're in the Sacramento area, right?
Yeah, but this show's not about promoting our firm, so it's about providing good advice out there. So anyway,
well, I appreciate the information. I was kind of thinking the same thing. So,
well, thank you.
Thank you very, very much.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. And thank you for your time in the military and whatnot, because obviously we need that guys to serve in the military. Hey, we're up against a break here. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll take your calls. This is Hanson McLean. Hanson McLean's Money Matters back with you here this Saturday morning.
Yes.
921-1530. Contact number. I was just listening to this. I don't want to go into what I was talking about.
Okay. But you know what we could do?
I was just listening to this music, and the band, the drummer was sentenced to prison for some disturbing act of some sort.
Oh, that guy from, is that Cake?
Yeah, I believe that's Cake.
Is that Cake?
Joey? Yeah, that's
Cake. That was disturbing. I don't know who Cake is.
There was Cake right there.
Why, I don't.
That guy kind of talks and sings. It's a singing talk.
It's,
all songs
it was disturbing. It was quite disturbing.
Weren't they local? Aren't they a local?
Are they local?
I
don't
know. Northern California. I thought they were Sacramento, but.
It was disturbing.
Anyway.
But.
No more Cake. I shouldn't.
Yeah, we shouldn't play that Cake anymore. He was sentenced. It wasn't an allegation.
No, like 15 years.
It wasn't he was convicted. All right, no more Cake. No Cake for anyone.
How about the rest of the band, though? And the producers? Now we're punishing them all for the sins of one.
Just how it happens.
That's how it happens. Be careful who you associate with.
Anyway. Well, speaking of association, last night we had our Christmas party.
We did. Office party.
The office party.
All the things that you read about that you shouldn't do at an office party, we saw them last night.
We saw it. Let's just say there'll be some reviews before the end of the year.
Oh, we're joking.
No, I'm not.
No,
yeah.
It was good.
I think we have about 55 employees.
75 employees.
We have 75 employees.
You can tell Pat's good with the numbers. Always look at the reports. Staying on top of things. Yeah, there's something in that range,
And then send there a lot of spouses and boyfriends and girlfriends. And it was nice.
It was very nice.
We had it at the Fire Rock, which is the old sheep herders at the
corner
of Folsom.
That was actually quite nice.
Yeah. And listen, I grew up in Sacramento, and I worked in restaurants.
Here we go.
Since I was
past tough childhood. One more time.
I've worked in restaurants since I was six. So anyway.
You used to work with Kitty O'Neill in a restaurant, did you not?
I did.
You were a busboy, and she was the hostess or something.
Yes, right? That is correct. The Kitty O'Neill.
There's useless trivia for you. That was Pat's brush with fame.
My brush with greatness. All right, let's go to the calls.
All right. Remember,
if you're going to a company Christmas party, think about it.
Think about it. That was very nice last night.
It was exceptional. It was very nice.
And there, it's funny. One of our advisors who's been with us for years, his daughter I had not seen since she was like a little kid. Now she's 22 or 23, this young woman, and she's dating Joey here, who's our...
What did you do, Joey?
Joey is
assistant
producer.
He's the lead grip.
Lead grip here. Something. Yeah, it's just funny watching the time go by.
Yeah. Okay, well enough.
Anyway, we'll take some calls because you don't want to hear any more about the Hanson McLean company party. Let's talk to Mark. Mark, you're with Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Hi, guys. Scott, good luck tomorrow on the CIM.
Thank you, sir.
I have a friend of mine that flew down from Alaska yesterday and is running it.
Oh, really?
It's a great race. Yeah. So I have a question about, I called you guys about 2 years ago and about airtime with the state.
Okay.
And I just got in right before they cut it off.
Awesome.
And
good for you.
Yeah, because we almost didn't take your call because it said airtime, and I thought, They haven't done that for a couple years, but with that,
but so you signed up and you got approved, and there was a big backlog, and they said you're in the pipeline, and then we'll let you know later how much it cost and what the benefits are. Correct?
Exactly. Okay. So I made it. I went down there the last day, so then it was a good 9-10 months before they got to my paperwork, and then it's been about 1 year now. I've been. It's been coming out of my paycheck.
Got it.
I bought it over 15 years.
Oh, you bought a 15 year.
I called you guys.
Wait, so Mark, you're paying for it over 15 years.
Correct.
Okay. And basically what happens is they use an internal for the rest. I don't know if it matters, but they use an interest rate.
And
that
this
they
is essentially the step back. State employees used to have an opportunity to buy additional years of service credit to give them larger pensions. So they'd say, all right, you give us a chunk of cash. We'll turn it into more pension income for you. And they made that available to all employees.
And
so,
it was a great deal for many, and it was a terrible deal for the taxpayers in the state of California.
But good for Mark for taking advantage.
Yes. So what was your question for us?
So I bought 4 years of airtime, and since they are using this internal rate of return of 7.5%, that's basically the interest rate that I'm paying over the 15 years.
Uh-huh.
So I'm wanting to, I have some money from a prior employer's 401k and some money at the Savings Plus with the state.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Thinking about using a lump sum to pay it off.
Yep. We like that. Do it.
So the question though is, I have a little bit more money than what it would be to pay it off. Should I roll part? So that some of this is at a prior employer. Should I roll part of it to the state to pay it off, and then the balance to an IRA, so then I could then do a conversion? Because if I roll it all to the state, then it's stuck there because it's in as a 401k.
What's the balance?
As an IRA. I have about 45 total between the two.
And after you...
That's what I have, and the payoff is about 30,000. So I have about 15.
That's exactly what I would do.
You would?
I'd take the 30 and pay it off. I'd take the other 15 and put it into an IRA. What would you do?
I think I'd probably just keep it at the state in the 401k.
Wants to convert it to a Roth.
Do you want to convert it to a Roth?
I think I would like to. Currently I have plenty of dependents, so I'm in a low tax bracket.
I'm with you. Yeah. Let me ask you this, Pat. Do you have an IRA money outside of your company's 401k?
I do.
Okay, then. So do I. When I have the option to roll it inside the company's 401k, I chose not to. Same thing with Mark.
Okay. Yes, I would. I agree. Both you, Mark, and Scott are correct, and I'm wrong. You want to do is roll it into a regular IRA and then convert to a Roth at some point in time.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go because, you know, I'm relatively young and buying the extra 4 years. By the time I'm 55, 60, I'm going to have 35 years of
there's no question.
And so I'm going to be in a fairly high tax bracket.
Here's what I would recommend. That money that you've been paying towards, how much you've been paying a month towards?
It's about $300 a month.
Okay.
Roughly.
I would continue to save those dollars, and I would have it go into the Roth section of the 401k. Because you're already taking, you're using pre-tax dollars for this, right?
Correct.
So never mind. Just have it go into your 401k.
Yeah. So what you want to do is you're paying down that because the cost of money is 7.5%. So basically what you're doing is you're taking the money that you've accumulated and you're giving yourself a guaranteed 7.5% rate of return on it.
Sign up for that.
Right. And I've made a lot of money over it the last 2 years.
Right. Yeah. Now's the good time. Now things are high.
Have it fully invested, in the market.
Would have been a bad idea to do this in 2009, March of 2009. But sounds like a brilliant time today.
Yeah. So move that over, pay down that, and then continue the $300 a month deposits into your 401k. And you want to get
401k or should I do just a Roth IRA?
Well,
you can do a Roth 401k.
Yeah.
I'd do it. I'd stick with a 401k.
That now? I guess I haven't looked lately.
I think they do it the state. I can't imagine they don't. Most companies do now.
I think they do.
I'll have to check into that.
Yeah, I can't imagine they wouldn't.
I can't imagine.
Because I like the fact that, see, I have 5 kids, so we, there's competing interests for our dollars.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's also... my wife is not working currently and, 15 years from now she may be, and we may be in a much higher tax bracket.
You will be with 5 dependents
now. It makes total sense. So you want to do it and you have competing interests for your dollars, your time, your affection.
Affection.
Most definitely.
Just not the discipline and reprimands.
No one, there's no competing interest for the discipline. So yeah, that's that makes perfect sense. And I'd go very aggressive in the new contributions into the 401k.
Yeah.
The Roth 401k. Okay. All righty?
All right.
Wish you well, Mark.
I appreciate the call. Thanks.
Yeah, and I think part of the reason you said be aggressive, when you're starting with nothing, be real aggressive on it because you're not going to, the fluctuations you won't even really see.
And not only that is that he's converted his portfolio into fixed income, which has got a high rate of return. And I'm glad he took the advice because we were harping on it right before it ended that you should get into buying the airtime.
It's a great deal. It's a screaming deal.
It was a crazy deal.
Crazy good.
And remember, we talked about it when it came out, what, 10 or 11 years ago on this, the radio show, how it is a great deal for employees. It will cost the state of California lots of money. And we had people calling up and saying, you're wrong. They said it's revenue neutral. Yeah. It did not turn out to be revenue neutral.
Because when you make up numbers.
It did not turn out to be revenue neutral to the state of California.
So, there's the CalPERS, CalSTRS. I believe they're all their internal rate of resumption is about 7.5%. I think for
pretty
both
close,
of them, right?
Close. Right around there.
Right around there for both of them. But if when you look at their allocations, how the monies are allocated, you think, well, where are you going to get the 7.5% when you have this percentage in fixed income, this percentage in equities, they've got some really rosy assumptions.
That is correct.
Because it's not like you can go out and buy government bonds paying 6% these days, right? A 10-year treasury is 3.3 or somewhere in that range today. Low.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take one more call here. Let's talk to Dee Dee. Dee Dee, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure. Yeah.
Hi. I'm sitting in my car in my cell phone, so I hope I get good reception.
Oh, no worries. We've got about a minute, so apologies.
Oh, no, that's not enough, so I'm going to really have to get down to it.
Okay.
Okay, here's the deal. Long story short, I'm in a long-term relationship about 8 years now with someone who was married before. Went through a very nasty divorce real quick. He is, he's pretty affluent, pretty well diverse with his money and whatnot. Mm-hmm. The problem that I have is that in the divorce, he told her, because she requested that she stay on his life insurance policy.
Uh-huh.
It's approximately $250,000, which is completely fine. He signed the papers, no big deal, and per monthly he pays on this insurance policy. Well, the question that I have, and I have with him...
We got about 20 seconds, sorry.
What's
the question? It's one of those insurance policies that has $55,000 of cash value in it right now.
Yeah, so you should, you should stay away from any discussion regarding this life insurance. He has a contractual obligation to provide life insurance benefit to his wife.
And we're out of time. Sorry.
Oh, that's a bummer.
All right, call us next week. I appreciate the call. If you'd like to learn more about Hanson McLean, go to HansonMcLean.com.
Hanson McLean's Money Matters has been broadcast for